This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 11th, episode 1122. Good morning, Horse World.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge. The day you risk it all. The day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I ride a song. Everybody hears and they sing along.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. Yes, it's hump day, it's Wednesday, and it's daylight savings time, so it's probably still dark everywhere, but don't worry, it'll be light till midnight. Is that true? How long did it stay light at your
house? It was nice last night. It stayed light till 7:30, so that was very nice, and it had been 6:30 before. So I did enjoy that. Now, it doesn't get light here till about 7:45 in the morning. So it starts getting light about 7:45 and stays light till 7:30. But, you know, pretty soon, another month or two, and it'll be light till 9 o'clock. We really liked living in Lexington because it was right on the line of where the clocks changed to Central Time. And so that meant it stayed light till 10 o'clock at night there.
It was weird. So yeah, I remember that, too.
Yeah. It just seemed light till 10 o'clock at night.
I got to tell you, the problem is that, you know, my daily clock is determined by the light, and now that it stays light longer, I get in later every night. I just stay outside with the horses. I teach until it gets dark, and then we stay outside and put everybody turn out and just, you know, take your time. You're like, it's still light out. And then I get inside and my child is melting down because he's starving to death because it's 8 o'clock and he still hasn't eaten. And then he starts freaking out because it's like past, it's like 9 o'clock bedtime. And I'm like, oh, let's give him a bath. it throws my whole world off. My child is dictated by the sunshine. That's pretty much what happens.
Well, yeah, he's supposed to be going to bed at 9, eating at 8:30, 8:45. You're back to that again. Next 5 months.
Exactly.
You know, pretty soon it'll be 110 degrees.
I know. We'll only be outside at night anyway. But no, my sister-in-law was like, when he was a baby, she's like, you have to keep him on a schedule. You have to have this and this and this. And she's like, you know, super mom schedule, 3 kids, there to the minute on what they do every day. And she's like, so what's his bedtime? I'm like, when does it get dark? Pretty much that's when we come inside. It's just that's how you roll when you have a farm. So I might not be the best super mom, but you know what? My horses are happy. God, I'm a terrible, terrible mom. Oh, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show? On today's Crappy List Wednesday edition, horse headlines, hilarious lists, and the Horse Health Report has Dr. Tanya Cubitt talking about vitamins and minerals. So stay tuned for the break.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, very happy birthday to our friend Guy McLean. It's his birthday today. Guy turns 40. You know, you can say that now, how old people are, because it's right on Facebook. So, I mean, yeah, I think that rules out the window, right? So happy birthday, Guy. We hope you're enjoying your time. I saw he has a bunch more shows booked this year, so you're probably going to see Guy out and about. And speaking of which, I hope this isn't your Daily Winnie. Is your Daily Winnie for Alisa Wallace?
No, go ahead.
Okay, good. Alisa Wallace announced yesterday that she's going to have her Mustangs doing her Mustang demonstrations at Rolex again. We saw her over there doing that last year. It was a lot of fun, so she's going to be doing that again. I think she was very excited about that. Is she riding this year?
Yes, she's riding Simply Priceless, the horse that she just finished the three-star on. She's qualified and sent in her entries. I don't know, because the woman is a freak. I mean, she's amazing. She's superhuman is what she is.
I don't know how you'd do both. I mean, it's bad enough just riding in Rolex in a four-star, but then doing demonstrations all day, too?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sorry.
I want to know whatever she drinks for breakfast, because we all need that.
Yeah, that's
whatever
a good point.
It is, it's cooking. Find that out.
Unreal.
Ask her what she has for breakfast. We need to know.
Well, you know, ask and ye shall receive. On Monday, we started talking about the horses that are heading to the Kentucky Derby and qualifying, and we were kind of going over the names and who to look for. And, oh, my gosh, we said, we don't know about Texas Red. We haven't heard a thing about him. Seriously? Like, our show ended, and they released a press release right after our show ended. So, Texas Red... It's true, right? I mean, did you guys all see? I had 10 listeners send it to me going, hey, idiot, here it is. I'm like, that was posted after the show, like 1 minute, 30 seconds after the show. So Texas Red is back at Santa Anita with his trainer, Keith DeSormo. And apparently this whole time when he suffered that foot abscess, he has been swimming. They've done several weeks of swimming in Oakdale, and then apparently he'll work next Saturday and the following two Saturdays, and hopefully they say that'll be enough to justify running in the Santa Anita Derby. And they said if not, they'll wait one more week and try to go to the Arkansas Derby. So they're trying to get him qualified. They said that they're going to run him in these so he can get enough points to run in the Derby. So he is on the trail. So that's very exciting. Yay
for our horse, our pick this year. Let's hope he makes it. I have my fingers crossed.
Yeah, it was just so funny. We're like, have you heard anything?
I know, we
asked
about it.
I don't know. Yeah.
And 2 minutes later, one of our listeners posts. There was another horse that won a race, and this was in Ohio, Austintown, Ohio, at the Mahoney Valley Racecourse, which I have never heard of. Monday afternoon, a horse by the name of Wear the Mask. He's a 4-year-old colt. He placed first in the fourth race. It paid $19.40, which tells me he was not a favorite. And it was his second career victory for the horse. Why are we talking about a horse called Wear the Mask that won a tiny little race in a tiny little racetrack in Ohio? Because he is a rare white horse. He is one of the white horses. Remember, we've talked about them before. They're completely white. They have their manes are white, their tails are white, their legs are white. Everything's white. This is a white horse. And there's so few of them around. I didn't realize this. They're not considered albinos, but it's a genetic mutation carried by a single dominant gene. So I don't know. I always thought albino just meant it was a white horse, but apparently that means something more.
No, albino is when they have like the pink eyes, you know, the pink skin around their eyes, no pigment anywhere. But the rare white horse, wasn't that what silver was? A thoroughbred that they found and they used in that god awful movie with
Johnny Depp.
Careful.
Jennifer's the only one in the world that actually liked that movie. She's the only one.
You know, I thought that there was nobody who would like it more than my dad because he was such a fan. Oh, my gosh. And my dad actually called me after that, and he was like, I just saw the worst movie I have ever seen in my entire life. I was like, oh, no, sorry.
And we're talking
so
about
excited.
The last Lone Ranger movie for anybody that's not done know. We're talking about the last Lone Ranger movie.
With Johnny Depp and the guy from Facebook, with one of the twins. Who's not a twin.
Yeah.
That's how much we know about it.
I checked I just looked on the tomato meter, you know, RottenTomatoes.com, which is where I always look to see what kind of rating they get. And they judge it, things, these are critic ratings, what the critics say about it. And then also people can put in your own rating. And on from 0 to 100, it was 31%. So there were a few other people other than Jennifer that actually liked the movie. Not many, but a few.
Actually, that only means they gave it 3 out of 10 stars. You know, so
that's
it's
right.
Not really that they liked it. They tolerated it.
Hey, this white horse, though, Wear the Mask, was trained by Ivan Vasquez and owned by Burva Magson of Magson Farms, located in Calvert City, Kentucky, which currently boasts the largest stable of registered white thoroughbreds and broodmares in North America. There's a little fact you didn't know.
I did not know that. We should probably try to get Burva Magson of Magson Farms on our show to talk about why she is obsessed with the, well, I mean, gosh, just the cleaning alone of a bunch of white horses. I don't know how paint farms do.
Is Burva a man or a woman's name? Do you know? I have no idea.
We could always Google it. And Jennifer is our, you know, she's our producer. And she is the one that finds out stuff like that. So
Burva,
she'll
a man
it.
Or a woman? Yeah. So
well,
anyway,
Glenn,
put that in your list, Jennifer. That is a great idea. Let's find out. Why are they not albinos? I mean, that's the other question.
Glenn, there's no way she's coming on the show now. It's Burva.
I have no
idea. Let's
move on. It's a man or a woman.
Hey, I have sad news. This is actually really sad. Hall of Fame jockey Ron Turcotte, who rode Secretariat, who, you know, just a man who was also injured in like 1978, became a paraplegic after falling off a horse. Well, he was in a single vehicle accident on 2 days ago and broke both his legs. Both his legs. Sad story. He was injured when the van he was driving hit an icy patch on a road near his home in New Brunswick and flipped over. That is one freaking icy patch. He had a friend in the passenger seat, only suffered minor injuries. They were taken to the hospital. God bless him. You know what? He gets in there. He's got two broken legs. The doctors are like, we've got to put casts on your legs. And he goes, can you make the casts blue and white? Secretariat's racing colors. How freaking cool is that guy? That's awesome.
And he was, he's paralyzed anyway, right?
Right. And you know, I did some research before because he was driving the car, and call me ignorant, I didn't know how a paraplegic would drive a car, and I guess they had hand controls. I was trying to figure that out because I didn't know that. But
a lot of times they're on the steering wheel. They're built into the steering wheel. They're right on the steering
really
wheel.
Yeah, really cool. I Googled it and was doing some research on it before the show, and I thought, well, that's really neat. So he has had all of his press, his, you know, stuff has been canceled. So he's not going to be at the Secretariat birthday. And, you know, they have the birthday foundation. We talked about it before at the farm. So he won't be there. So if you were heading there and you were waiting to see Ron Turcotte, he won't be there this year, but he said plan on it next year.
Wow. And let's see here. The other thing, too, and this is bizarre. You've actually read more about it than I did. It's been all over the place this morning, all over Facebook, all over the news, and that is the Walmart horse story. Could you explain that to me? Because I'm confused about why this is such a big story. Why is it such a big story?
I don't know. It's really stupid. So a guy created a website called, you know, you can do the dot horse websites now. And this guy created a website called Walmart.horse. And all it is a homepage. And it's a picture of people walking in and out of Walmart. And there's a horse like superimposed in front of it. And it looks weird. I don't know why you would ever go to Walmart.horse if you were looking to go
very
to Walmart.
Photoshopped.
It's Photoshopped.
Very
it's
Photoshopped.
Just bizarre, and there's no reason whatsoever you would ever look for that. But apparently Walmart is pretty PO'd about it. They said they sent a cease and desist notice to the creator of the website and ask him to pull it down because, let's see, the cease and desist notice was signed by Walmart Brand Protection. The country's biggest retailer points out that it owns the Walmart and the Walmart trademarks and that the creator Jacques did not get the company's permission to use the trademark on Walmart.horse. He said that Walmart went on to say that the domain name incorporates the well-known Walmart mark in its entirety and by its very composition suggests Walmart's sponsorship and endorsement of the website and his activities. And it weakens, are you ready, weakens the ability of Walmart, it weakens the ability of the Walmart mark and the domain name. And I'll see, it goes on to say, this is all because of this horse superimposed in front of a Walmart picture. It misleads consumers into believing that some association exists, and it tarnishes the goodwill and reputation of Walmart's products, services, and trademarks. Let me repeat that. It tarnishes the reputation of Walmart products. I don't think that this is going to tarnish the Walmart products any more than Walmart products already tarnish themselves. Am I right? I mean, come on.
That's pretty much true. If they're tarnished, they're tarnished.
They're pretty much tarnished already. If
and
you
it's
buy
a cute horse.
Walmart,
it's not like he used an ugly horse. I mean, if he used an ugly horse, maybe, but it's a cute horse.
Well, you know what? That horse is going to be the reason that my I got a baby monitor from Walmart, and my gosh, what a piece of junk. It doesn't even work from room to room. It's crap. That tarnished Walmart's name, not this horse.
And you know this creator, the Jeff Jocks guy? If he did it to get publicity, it obviously worked because nobody was going to find this website otherwise. I mean, nobody was ever going to stumble over it. He'd have two people a month looking at it. Now he's got tens of millions. And he is the creator of something called questionablecontent.net, which is a comic strip that he does. So this website, I just went and looked at it. It's a comic strip that he does, and now he's got all this publicity. Why didn't we think of this? We need to do something where we get sued because apparently,
I think so. Yeah. He uses a lot of big words, but he says that it's nonsense art using found objects, in this case, publicly available images, and the name of a mega corporation. And it's art and blah, blah, blah. And he has these rights. Whatever, dude, you want to get paid and publicity. Like, genius. Why didn't we?
I know. I'm going to put pictures of. Oh, we need Thor and Scooter together in front of Target.
I was going to say Target.horse. Target.horse. What else is there? You can do this. You're internet savvy. Get a whole bunch of .horse.
Sears, JCPenney, and we could do McDonald's. Oh, no, that probably has a different connotation. We got to stay away from
there's
food.
Is there a Home Depot.horse? Home Depot.
Yeah, we could. I didn't know you could buy the .horse domain at this point.
There is no Home Depot.horse. We're buying it. Lowes.horse.
Let's see here. I didn't know that the .horse domain was available. I never even knew that was available.
We did that as a news story like a year ago. I remember us talking about it, and I thought, why would anybody buy a .horse? Well, now we know. You need to go ahead and buy all these .horses. They're all available.
It is available now. $29. You can buy yourself a .horse domain.
Yep. It'd be totally worth it. Worth it. Hey, side note, real quick, I've got to throw this out there because it's kind of important, and I'm not kind of upset about it. My cousin who owns Danny, my puppy, you know, the puppy I have, Danny, the mother is missing. She got out of the yard, and apparently she gets out of the yard and usually comes home, but I think somebody probably grabbed her. And this is in Argyle, Texas. I'm sending out a public service announcement for my cousin because she is freaking out that the dog is gone. And any suggestions of what to do, just go ahead and post on Horses in the Morning. I'm going to post a picture of the dog, and if you have a comment of the best way to try to find it, she's going to shelters this morning as soon as it opens. And I just told her she needs to post on Craigslist, and I just don't know which Craigslist Argyle, Texas uses. So anyway, just public service announcement. I'm going to post a picture. If you live in that area and you know somebody who just picked up a beautiful female border collie, not microchipped, but has a collar, but no tag. But I don't know. It's a teenage girl's dog, and I am so irritated that she doesn't have a microchip. But first things first, let's get the dog back in the
microchip. Or a pod tracker, like we talked about on Monday. If she had the pod thing, she would have been able to find him by now.
Exactly. Exactly. You can find your iPhone app, pod tracker. Perfect. But anyway, I'm going to post a picture of the dog, and hopefully you guys will have great suggestions on what to do.
Okay. Well, we hope that they find the doggy. I'm sure they will. They'll be found by the end of the day. I'm thinking positive today. It's Wednesday. Think positive day.
It's positive day.
Well, I do have one kind of sad but happy story all at the same time. And that's last week, Oklahoma County Sheriff's Mounted Patrol lost a beloved member of their squad. It was Horse Deputy Ellie May. And Ellie May was a mule who served the county's Mounted Patrol for 25 years, passed away peacefully in retirement at the age of 30. Well, they said 30 plus. They're not sure what her age was. Ellie May had trained more deputies in mounted police work than any other instructor in the history of Oklahoma law enforcement. She became a full-fledged member and partner of Deputy Randy Garner's family and had been living with his daughter Amanda in Kentucky since her retirement last April. They said the gentle mule who loved children was teaching Amanda's daughter to ride and still indulging in her favorite pastime, opening gates to free herself and any nearby friends. So haven't we all had one of those? And this is what the sheriff's department said, Oklahoma County Sheriff's Department said, she was an animal even more in tune with her surroundings and, yes, possible dangers than most of her mounted partners. Ellie had an amazing memory for procedures and techniques. Obviously, she knew how to open the gates of patrol that far exceeded the normal animal. Ellie was trusted and fearless in her work with Deputy Randy Gardner. Whether she was clearing the midway at a state fair or climbing a nearly straight up embankment on a trail ride, it made no difference. If you asked her to do it, she'd give it a try. She wasn't the biggest mule I'd ever seen, but she definitely had the biggest heart.
Aww.
So rest in peace, Ellie May, and she sounded like she had a good life and a good retirement, and she loved her job, and I'm sure that everybody at the Oklahoma Mounted Patrol will miss her. So good job, Ellie May.
25 years. She served for 25 years. That's amazing.
They said she was 30 plus, but they didn't know her real age. And apparently she was mischievous to the very end.
Of course.
Haven't we all had gate openers? We have one now. The landlord's horse will just open it. You've got to be extra careful about everything because he can just open anything. It's just those horses whose lips are amazing that way.
Yeah, Edward's like that too. Edward is like that too. And he will open his stall. Go out, he'll open the back, which opens to the pasture, and I usually let that open. But then he'll go to his neighbor's stall, open the back door of that horse's stall, chase them out, and then open the front door of that horse's stall and leave. Like, you just went through three gates. Like, your brain is too smart to do that. It's crazy. And then you spook at a tarp. Yeah, a plastic bag is frightening to you. Gosh, what a mess.
Well, I have the top. I found this morning on a website called farmtalknewspaper.com. I've never heard of it. Farmtalknewspaper.com. It was the top 10 ways to use a horse as a weather gauge. And I thought, in light of the winter everybody's had, that these could be some useful suggestions for everybody. So, number 10, you're walking across the pasture and run smack dab into a Shetland pony. That means there's heavy fog in low-lying areas.
I love it.
That's
so funny.
Get it. Number 9, the horse swishes his tail and knocks you unconscious. That means there's icy conditions. Haven't we all had that with the icy tail going smack you in the face? Number 8, a 14-hand horse appears to be 16 hands tall. That means that snow has accumulated up to 8 inches. Pretty good.
Awesome.
7, the ground looks wet, but the hoof prints are dry. That means there's very light showers. That's how we tell how hard it's rained. You just move the sand a little bit. That's probably how you guys do it, too.
Yeah.
Number 6, the get-on side of the horse is wet. The other side is dry. That means there's isolated showers. Very isolated showers.
The get-on side of the horse? That's funny.
Get on. I love how they put that. That's a farmer talking, the get on side of the horse. Number five, your sorrel horse has turned roan. That means there's snowfall with little or no accumulation. I had to ask Jennifer about that because I forgot that the roan had the white flakes thing. So I didn't quite get that one at first. Number four, the horse is hanging onto the fence with his teeth. That means blustery winds, or you've got a cribber. One or the other. That's
yeah.
Three, he's slow to leave the shady hedgerow even though you're rattling the feed bucket. That means there's an excessive heat warning. Hey, you know, you're just seeing another guy.
You're in Phoenix. You know what's stupid, though, is, on a side note, horses, even in Phoenix, it can be so hot and there's shade available, they just stand in the sun and sweat. Like, what is wrong with you? Get in the shade. Nope, cows are smart. Cows will go lay down in the shade. A horse won't. It's so stupid.
Well, number next one is the horse looks hungry because his big round bale floated away. That means there's possible flooding in some areas, in your area specifically. And number one, you bought another horse from the trader who screwed you the last time. That means apparently it's a cold day in hell. I love that.
Oh.
That was up to this.
I won't buy a horse from a cold day in hell.
In hell. All right, let's hear from one of our sponsors. And it's the dewormer that we all use by Mita Dewormers. And then we're going to come back. I have a review of a product that I'd like to do today. And then you also have a Thor update. We might have another list or two. And then we have some health talk a little later in the show. We all know the importance of deworming our horses, and Dr. Ellefson of Bimeda Equine is helping us make sure we are doing it right. Listen for his four-part series the first week of every month on this very show. I just wanted to remind everyone, if you are due for deworming, why not save a few bucks on the popular Bimeda line of wormers, including Equimax, Bimectin, Exodus, Exodus Multidose, and Equil. You can find coupons and special offers at buymediaequine.com, including a variety of rebate offers from cash to free ivermectin. You can also get up to $2 a dose back for Equimax. And while you're at buymediaequine, get your free horse health record keeper, and you can just download it there. Plus, learn a bunch about parasites and deworming at buymedia, that's B-I-M-E-D-A, equine.com. We at the Horse Radio Network all use Bimeda Dewormers because we want the best for our horses, and we know you want the best for yours, too. Bimedaequine.com, and tell them the Horse Radio Network sent you. Well, I had an opportunity over the last couple of weeks to check out a new horse boot, and we had been using, I don't know if you're familiar with horse boots at all, Jamie, but we had been using on Scooter to drive them on the roads and also on Beaker when we go out, because we have 17 miles of roads here that are very lightly traveled. We're in an equestrian neighborhood, and we don't put shoes on our horses, so I kind of like to have boots on, at least the pony, because we have to stay on the road.
These are boots like they go over the hoof, not like wrap around the leg. Because I call those boots too.
Right, hoof boots. Hoof boots. So we were using, I don't know if you're familiar with the other brand that had the wires. You had the wires and you had the little clampy thing, and they were kind of a pain in the ass.
Those are awful.
And then the wires broke. We just had a horrible time. Everyone we had broke. So I thought, well, let's give a try to Cavallo's Trek boots, which are a much simpler system. And I got to tell you, I've been using them for a couple of weeks now, and I took a picture yesterday and posted it on Facebook, which turned out to be pretty popular. Scooter's still getting love. But if you didn't see it, go to Horses in the Morning Facebook page and just scroll down a little. You'll see a picture of Scooter in his new sneakers. He is so cute. I do have the cutest pony. But he was wearing his Cavallo Trek boots, his new sneakers, we call them. And he had them on all four, and he's not used to all four, so over the last couple of weeks, we're kind of getting him used to having them on all four instead of just the front. And I'll tell you what, these things are so damn easy to use. They're just a Velcro thing, and you put them on, and they fit perfectly. They don't flop around. They don't have that stupid wire system that was driving me insane, because you need tools to do that. And it really would take me a while to put the boots on. And then I'd finally get frustrated and say, Jennifer, can you put these on, please? And, of course, the pony's going, what are you doing back there for so long? And these things, I have them on in seconds. You just put them on in seconds. You take them off in seconds. The other ones were even a pain in the ass to take off. So these things are so nice. They have tread on the bottom so he doesn't slip on the macadam at all. And we had recently paved roads because they're a little bit slick. And because of the tread on the bottom of these boots, he doesn't slip. And he, you know, rocks and stuff always bothered him since we got him. That's getting a little better as his hooves are getting healthier. But he's been so good about this. He loved it, and he trotted, no problems. Now, he's so narrow in the back. I said to Jennifer, I said, there's a swishing noise. And then I looked down. He's so narrow in the back that his boots were rubbing against each other when he walks. And then the longer we'd go, the better that would get. And then finally, you know, when you trot and stuff. And after a trot, they wouldn't do it anymore. But he's so narrow in the back, his boots actually swish together.
So, we call that rope walking, Glenn. That's a technical term.
Rope walking?
Called rope walking.
I didn't know that had a technical name, rope walking.
It's not very technical.
It wasn't boot swishing? No,
but no,
it wasn't
boot
swishing.
It's old cowboys say he walk a rope in the back legs. That means he's super narrow in the hind end. So he kind of warms out of that. That's interesting. Like,
yeah, he does.
Huh?
He does. And I asked you about that yesterday. Is that normal that they warm out of that? You said it thought it was, but
for PT Studer, it's normal.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, I don't know if that applies to anybody else.
Yeah.
But he really
anytime,
did like the
anytime
boots.
You do
I like the
boots.
It worked. They worked well. I give them a high mark of Cavallo Trek boots, and we love them so far. Beaker wears them now, and we go out, and Beaker can trot on the roads now. I just love them. I just like how simple they are, and Jennifer likes that I'm not whining incessantly anymore about putting the boots on.
Right.
So it's a win-win for everybody.
I love them because Glenn doesn't whine. Yay! Isn't that the truth? Hey, can you do this? You know what? I'm already doing something right now. You do it. I know the feeling. I totally do. It happens. But that's great. Well, I'm glad they're working out for you. And anything easier than those
really
wire things that you have to, like, you know, put the wire underneath with your finger and about cut your finger, and then you have to push it down, and it pops back up. And you push it down, it pops back up. Yeah, I've used those for when we would do long trail rides, because if your horse throws a shoe, what are you going to do? So you have to have one. Half the time they don't fit. Yeah, it's a nightmare. So that's really cool.
Throw those away and buy the Cavallo ones. The other reason that we went with Cavallo in the beginning was because they're the only ones that make the pony boots small enough. So he wears a size 0, so nobody makes a size 0, you know. And that's why we went with Cavallo in the first place, and now we absolutely love them. So, yeah, we highly recommend them. I think the website is cavallo-inc.com. And
so,
the ones we use are the Trek boots.
Now, do they kind of stay on for, you know, say you were galloping around a lot or trotting or cantering around a lot? They don't shift around at all.
Yep.
They're pretty much stick right to it.
Not so far. They've been staying really well. We haven't had, and I've trotted them down the road and haven't had any trouble. Yours don't move on Beaker either, right? It just designed
well. No, they
stay
right in place. They're really easy to measure for. There's only one measure to fit. And the design is such that they're very forgiving of different horse hoof shapes. If your horse has a wider, flatter hoof shape or something a little narrower through the heel, they're pretty forgiving that way because of the way they're designed. So I think that's one of the reasons we're getting a pretty good fit is when you put it on, it's kind of like a good stretchy sock. It fits better versus the old-fashioned ones with cables everywhere. The question, does it really lift them up a lot? Like if, some of those other boots, you put it on and all of a sudden, like, you know, they're a hand taller in the front and then the back is sunk down a little bit if they don't put four on.
If they're probably about as thick as a thick aluminum horseshoe would be, I would say.
Okay. Okay, so if you have shoes, because I'm asking this because there's a reason. I pulled Jet's back shoes, and my farrier came yesterday and had to put shoes back on because his back feet just disappeared. And I'm having the same trouble with Duke. Duke's, he wears shoes in the front, but then we ride him a lot more this time of year, and his back feet kind of fall apart. So if I was to put back boots on him just for rides, And he's got front shoes on, he would be about level?
Oh, yeah, he'd be fine. Oh, sure.
Okay. I'm just curious. Sorry.
Is it because of the sand? Is it the sand that's wearing their feet out so fast?
You know what? We have these bridle paths that go, they're irrigation canals technically, and they kind of go in between properties. Well, recently they put rocks down on it. And they're big, you know, they kind of, it's almost like pavement, but it's not, it's just black rock that's really together. And it doesn't hurt the horse's feet to walk on them. It's really, it's almost like a cement rock thing. And it's just, it's causing problems with their back feet. And I can't even get out there and trail ride them out on this stuff anymore. And they thought they were doing it to help with the gopher holes and to keep those roads ready. And it's terrible. It's just terrible. Everybody complains about it. And you just can't even really ride your horses down them anymore. Pretty frustrating. Anyway,
They ruined your trail riding.
Exactly.
Yeah, your first world problem.
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
You also have, and I don't have any music, I apologize, because while we're talking about feet, we both had farriers come out yesterday, and I don't have any Thor music because I didn't have a chance to get the music. We have company this week, and it just is taking up some time, so I didn't have a chance to get the Thor music ready. So I'll have a new Thor update for you soon that you can try out. I got rid of the My Little Pony Thor update because it was even disturbing for me. So the one I played on Monday was pass on. Go on to the next one. But you have a Thor update for us.
I do. Thor yesterday, you know, he's kind of having a spa week. Bless his little heart. The two things that he really doesn't like are when you mount him, he gets very nervous, and when you would pick his back feet. So my farrier, I love her to death, and I really appreciate that she comes to my house, and I really appreciate her, and I appreciate the job that farriers do. It's like a thankless, it's terribly hard. I just, you know. So anyway, I told her I was getting a Mustang, and she was like, yeah, I'm not coming back to your house. And I was like, you have to come back! She's like, okay, well, you have to make sure that I can pick up every foot and that horse is going to be good. So I've been picking Thor's feet like two or three times a day because he came to me needing a trim. He's been trimmed. They said they trimmed him once. So Wild Mustang trimmed him once in a prison, a bunch of dudes. I guarantee it was not a fluffy experience, you know. So he's kind of bad about his back feet being picked up, and he's got a little temper every now and then. Do you want me to call back because am I having bad audio?
I don't know. Jennifer, is she cracking up a lot? Are we?
Sounds fine here.
Okay, that's you.
You're good, then. It's just me. I'll call back. You keep telling your story. I'll be right back.
He was really bad. So I've been working on him, and she came out yesterday and picked his feet up and trimmed him, and he got his first pedicure, and she was so sweet and she was so gentle, and he was perfect. She said it was by far the best Mustang she'd ever done. She said that she has Mustangs that she's worked on that have been in training for 6 months and are terrible. He's such a level-headed dude. I mean, like I said, he does have a little bit of a temper, but he's very level-headed. He picked his feet up. He was not thrilled about the back feet, but he set them on the thing, and she said it was like shaving concrete. His feet were so big and hard. I said, well, good. Maybe I'll have one horse that I don't have to put four shoes on. But he was really good, and she said he was by far the best Mustang that she'd ever done.
Oh,
and
yay.
I was thrilled. Did he get a lollipop?
Way to go, Thor.
What, Jennifer?
Did he get a lollipop at the end?
I gave her, the only treat he'll eat is alfalfa cubes. So I gave her pellets. So I gave her a handful, and she loved on him and pet him. And, you know, they tell you when you adopt him and all the paperwork that when you get home, you know, the only people these horses have ever been around is men. And they said, you know, men, so they're going to respond better to men. And just so you know, well, of course, I have a female farrier. I'm a female, and I have a female vet. So he's getting flooded with women. You know, he sees Chad. He's like, oh, thank God. There he is.
I'm not alone.
I know. Today is a big day for Thor, actually, and it's going to be, it's not going to be his favorite day. It's not going to be as fluffy as the shoes were, because today is the day. I noticed that Thor hates bits. He just really would get uncomfortable in the bridle, and I've tried 10 different bits, and I've actually bought two, and they're on their way. And I realized, finally, I was able to kind of get his mouth open and look in his mouth. He's got giant wolf teeth that have not been pulled. And I asked them at the prison, I said, have you guys floated his teeth trying to get everything lined up? And they said, nope, he's not skinny. He didn't need it. That's there.
That's the rule. That's the cowboy way.
That's the cowboy way. However, you know, for wild horses, wolf teeth don't matter. But when you start putting a bit in a horse's mouth, they need those wolf teeth removed. He is so uncomfortable. Then I realized that's why he's so uncomfortable. So bless his little heart. Glenn, you asked me earlier if his head is as big as it appears in all the photos.
Huge. Those photos, it does. His head looks so big.
It's that big. It is huge. He has a massive head. And actually, my farrier said he's the biggest Mustang she's ever seen. There's, you know, you'll find Mustangs here and there in Arizona. He said it's the biggest Mustang. She goes, if you wouldn't have told me it was a Mustang, I would have just thought it's a warm blood with a big old head.
Yeah, does he wear horse-sized halters and bridles, or does he have to go warm blood?
I got the large horse halter for him, but then it has the adjustable noseband, and that's on the biggest hole. Because that's the problem, is he's got that big old Roman nose, and it's huge. And so my neighbor, hearing all my issues with the bits and the problems, she's like, why don't you try a bitless bridle? And I thought, well, that's great. She had one I could borrow. So she sends it to me, and a couple days ago I tried to put it on. It doesn't fit around his nose. I mean, the straps that go around their nose that leave plenty of room. It's not like a tight nose band. I couldn't even get it from either side of his underside of his jaw. I couldn't even get it mostly around his nose. Bless his little heart. So,
if you'd like to try my bridleless bridle, I'll send it over to you.
Oh yeah, how's that work?
I'll just send it to you. It'd be an empty box, but you could give it a try.
Yeah, I'm going to go bridleless on this guy. That seems like a great idea. Today's the day.
Hey, Elisa does it. What's wrong with you?
I know, because I'm sure she just hopped on immediately and with no bridle. Probably did, actually. So anyway, today's the day that Thor is getting his wolf teeth pulled, and I called my vet. I texted her, and I was like, hey, can I get an appointment to do some teeth? And she's like, sure, no problem. When do you need me? I'm like, oh, yeah, come out. You know, and she's coming up today. And I said, you might have to pull some wolf teeth. And she's like, okay. I did not tell her that it was a Mustang, nor so I hope she stays my vet after this too. But
lose all of your professional people. You're not going to have anybody left.
I know. They did tell me when I adopted him. He was asking about the teeth, and he said, just make sure you tell your vet double the sedation. It's like, okay.
In his case, you'd almost have to double it anyway. He's so big.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, good luck with that. I'll be anxious to hear how that goes and whether he just falls over with double the sedation. Might be doing him on the ground.
That's true. Lay him down. Probably be easier. So it may be it'll be a bloody day. I'll post pictures if you guys want.
Oh, yummy.
I love a bloody horse picture.
Yeah, yummy. You can keep those. Well, and as Scooter got his feet done, he's been a little bit of a nudge because he's a hackney pony. I wasn't out there yesterday. Did he do all right, Jennifer? With the
dun, dun, dun. This was a big day for PT Scooter. First farrier visit consisted of soothing tones, lots of yummy horse treats, push up against wall, take a break, walk around the block, more treats, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then we moved on to just treats. And yesterday, he stood like a normal pony. No treats. Yay! I couldn't get over it. It's like, what did you do with PT Scooter, and who are you?
Well, I'll tell you what I did, Jamie. The key was I drove him 3 out of the last 4 days. And yesterday, before the farrier came, he had to drive with 2 people in the cart. So that's what I did. I wore his little ass out, what I did.
That's the best thing. A tired horse is a good horse. That's what they say.
He was too tired to fight about it. Well,
he
let's
was
see
so
this.
Good.
Let's
he take... just stood there. He didn't bite me. He didn't leap in the air. It was wonderful. Sorry.
Well, a lot better than our first hackney, which used to stand on 2 feet the entire time the farrier was there. Yeah.
God,
not much fun.
I mean, and people out there, I just want to tell you right now, please hug your farrier, tip them extra, give them a nice Christmas bonus, whatever. It is the hardest job. So I've been collecting my little horsey shoes, and I've made a little plaque for all the horses, and so I needed Edward's shoes yesterday, and so she hands me the shoe and gives me nippers to pull the nails out, because I was like, I want to pull the nails out. I want to paint it and put it on a plaque. Anyway, so she hands me the freaking nippers. Oh, my God, I was worked of a sweat before I could get one nail cut out of that damn thing. And I thought, how the hell do you do this all day? You should have seen I was on my – I had it up in the air. I was standing on it. I was twisting it. I couldn't get the nails out. And she's like, here, just give it to me. I'm like, oh, no, I got it. I'll do it. Oh, my
I'll do
gosh,
it.
What a job. Like,
that is a job. That's a job I would have never wanted. Their backs give out by the time they're 40. Oh, it just is a horrible job. It's a hard job.
So love your farrier.
That
love
has
him.
To be one of the hardest jobs in the horse world. I know breaking babies is tough, you know, especially, you know, thoroughbred babies, you know, at the big farms and stuff. But, boy, being a farrier. I mean, I bend over to trim my horse's feet, and I stand up and go, oh, my back hurts. You know,
yeah, just to pick their hooves.
Yeah,
like, exactly. Oh God, I'm creaky. I used to tell them this chair too long and I get sore.
Let's take a break for one of our terrific sponsors, and we have a song, and I have this is a dedication. I got an email yesterday, and I'll read it to you. So this song has a dedication. I would like to dedicate the Jared Rogerson song that Jamie liked so much, the Peace one. I assumed that she was talking about Peace, Love, and Horses, to my friend Melanie, who recently lost her Shetland pony that was 36 years old.
Aww.
I know she listens to the show. Thanks. I listen every day. You help put a smile on my face in my one-hour commute to work. Oh, God, an hour to work. Bless you, Karen.
I love you.
So that was from Karen. So we're going to play Peace, Love, and Horses right after we hear from our favorite spreader company, Mill Creek. So you've been thinking about getting a manure spreader? Well, here's why I think you should consider Mill Creek. They've been in business for almost 30 years with continuously improved designs to meet the needs of horse owners like you. At Mill Creek, models are virtually maintenance and trouble-free thanks to their exclusive sealed bearings. They're the only compact spreaders you'll find like that. Mill Creek customer service is second to none. Call them and you'll reach a knowledgeable person in their own factory right in Pennsylvania. With 8 models available, they're happy to help you choose the right spreader for your budget and barn. 5 models can be pulled with ATV or garden tractors. If you'd rather have a PTO drive, they've got those too. At Mill Creek, spreaders have the lowest sides and tongue weight of any on the market. One of the biggest problems we always had with our spreaders is they just rust. Everything rusts out, and then you have to replace the metal, and it's just a pain. If you don't want to ever have to worry about your manure spreader rusting again, then consider the Mill Creek stainless steel line. They are the world's first and only compact manure spreaders built out of stainless steel, and they're warranted against rust through for life. Julie Goodnight, clinician and star of Horsemaster with Julie Goodnight on RFD TV, has owned and used the Mill Creek spreader every day for over 9 years. She knows they represent great value and quality and is proud to endorse them. So for the best compact manure spreading equipment you can buy, check out Mill Creek's lineup. Years of trouble-free operation will get you out of the barn faster and give you more time for your horses. Give them a call today at 800-311-1323 or visit their website at millcreekspreaders.com. The perfect holiday gift. We'll be right back.
ain't no mare. She's got Rocky Mountain ivory that she wears around her neck. And the Grateful Dead play a song in her head somewhere between. Tractor, belling hay for miles and miles. She says innocence grows right out of the ground. She believes in heaven and what goes around comes around somewhere between. The pages are the same. As certain as a river in the spring, you seal a deal with a handshake. That's her philosophy. She can rope and ride, and she likes hanging out with me. She believes that love is one thing that can't change anything. And she loves me, and that's the part that gets me. She's all about peace, love, horses, and me.
Peace, Love, and Horses by Jared Rogerson, dedicated to Melanie from her friend Karen for the loss of her Shetland pony. We thank you. If you would like to dedicate a song, just send it in to glenn@horseradionetwork.com, and I'll definitely get it on the air. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. We have a couple programming notes. Jamie, this whole eventing thing with the new rule about if you knock a cross-country fence over that has a frangible pin, you get 21 points. You're basically out of the competition at that point. Has just blown up, and there's all this controversy about it. And the eventing radio show this week, tune in. Jennifer's finishing up editing it now. It'll be out a little bit later today. Talks a lot about that. And then we unfortunately lost a horse at Red Hills at cross-country the other day. And, boy, Denny Emerson just wrote an article on Horse Collaborative, just taking eventing to task and why we aren't fixing the sport. And of course, Denny's one of the old eventers from the old days, and he posted a bunch of pictures of how the cross-country jumps have changed. The pictures were actually very well done, showing the progression through time, how everything's changed in cross-country. But there are a lot of things mulling around the eventing world right now. Not just endurance is having a little bit of controversy, but eventing is too.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't really paid enough attention. I'm not at the level in eventing where I would ever knock over a jump with a
frangible pin.
Because I don't jump jumps that big. So I'm
it's
like, y'all just
yet.
Decide. Y'all just decide and let me know what you figure out.
Well, and, you know, we had an endurance show yesterday, and endurance right now with the FEI and the whole situation with the Arab countries, or, you know, and it is just blowing up, and the FEI pulled its sponsorship of a couple of shows over in that region, and then it came out yesterday, there's this reporter in England, I tried to read the story, but I got totally lost in it. There's a reporter in England studied the times and statistics at a couple of the rides that just happened over in the Middle East, and what she found is that a certain section of the rides all had same times, and they were manipulating the times to make the winners look better. And
oh my God.
Yeah, and she found the anomalies by really studying the charts, and she published it in a newspaper in England, and now that's all blown up, and now the FBI can't ignore it anymore, and it's just a war over in the endurance world that way. It's not going to be good for them. But I did, so if you want to check that out, it's on the Eventing Show. You can find that coming out a little bit later today. Busy couple of weeks coming up here on the Horse Radio Network. We have Live Oak, which is the largest driving competition in the United States, 4 miles from my house at Chester Weber's Farm, coming up next week. And, of course, Wendy and I, as we mentioned the other day, will be doing the USEF's live coverage. So you can watch it at home on the USEF network. It's free. And Wendy and I will be doing the narrating. And we found out, Jamie, that we're going to be doing the narrating for the 21st, which is Marathon Day. But Cones is the following day. It's kind of their version of the jumping that in eventing. They have to drive on a Cones course through the cones and knock off the little tennis balls off the cones. And we're going to be doing the narrating for the USEF network that day as well. So we'll be on both days, the 21st and the 22nd. For a live oak. No, I think it's going to be a lot. Wendy knows everything about that because, as she said yesterday, she said, you know, we were talking about the live oak obstacles. She said, I've driven every one of those obstacles in competition with a single, a pair, and a four in hand. So she said, I know those obstacles. So she said, so I'm just going to let Wendy do all the talking and sit back and enjoy. It'll be nice.
Get that paycheck. Come on. Daddy needs new shoes.
That's right. Wendy said, you mean you're going to be the fluff? I said, yep, I'm going to be the fluff. And she said, you're going to learn how easy it is to be the fluff, and all your co-hosts are going to be mad at me. So so we're going to be doing that as well. And then we're heading to Road to the Horse in Lexington the week after that. We got a lot of coverage. That Road to the Horse coverage, we're going to actually be on Saturday and Sunday as well for Horses in the Morning. So we'll have coverage Friday, Saturday, and Sunday that weekend. And we'll talk more about the times and everything coming up. I'll have lots of good guests for you, and it should be a lot of fun. Tomorrow morning, we have Mary coming on, Mary Kitzmiller, and of course, will be competing in Road to the Horse here in another week. So to her last episode before she heads out to Road to the Horse. So that should be fun to see what she has planned for her show tomorrow. But Jennifer, yeah. You had today a horse health segment for us that you put together. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I got together with Dr. Tanya Cubitt from Performance Horse Nutrition last week because she would be on the road this week, so we couldn't do it live. And we've been going through the various categories of nutrients that you're going to find on feed labels. We've done proteins so far, and then we did carbohydrates. And this time up, it's going to be vitamins and minerals, and we chit-chat a little bit about what the vitamins and minerals are, what all those multi-syllable words mean on the back of the label, and whether or not you're feeding too much or too little, and how to figure that out.
Dude, hold on. I already am like an over-label reader of human food. Is this going to make me an over-label reader of horse food, and now I'm going to actually understand what I'm reading? Is that what you're telling me?
You are going to read those labels and understand how much the feed company is overcharging you.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
I would hate going to the grocery store with you, Jamie. I hate going to the grocery store with Jennifer, who minorly reads labels. I'm one of those, you know, I race through the aisles, throwing crap in my cart and get through. And you would drive me insane. I just couldn't go grocery shopping with you.
It's a nightmare to go grocery shopping with me. Oh, it's the worst. I hate shopping with me.
All right, our horse health report with Dr. Cubitt.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
And back with me this afternoon is Dr. Tanya Kubit from Performance Horse Nutrition, who stops by on a monthly basis at Horses in the Morning to explain to us nutritional topics. What have you got for us this month, Dr. Tanya Kubit?
Oh, well, firstly, let me say I am so excited that spring is on its way and
Woo-hoo!
It's getting warmer. But we're going to talk about vitamins and minerals because we see them, we hear about them, they're on the feed tag, but what do I need to know? Where are they coming from? That kind of thing. And first, I thought we'd start out with vitamins because there are less vitamins than there are minerals. We could get weighed down in how many minerals there are.
So vitamin, if you had said to me, which are there more of, I would have said vitamins, but I would be wrong.
No, there's really not. Vitamins get broken down into two main categories, water-soluble vitamins and fat-soluble vitamins. Really, that just means soluble vitamins, they are soluble in fat, so they can be absorbed into fat, and water-soluble vitamins are soluble in water. And water-soluble vitamins are vitamin B and vitamin C. There's only two of them. Well, that's kind of incorrect because in B vitamins, there's about 8 or 9 of them. But the thing that we need to realize about B vitamins is that they're synthesized in the hindgut of the horse. So if you give your horse plenty of fiber, the little bugs that are in there breaking down the fiber, they make all of those B vitamins. They're important for metabolism and energy. The time that you're going to want to see B vitamins on a label is if you have, say, a racehorse. Racehorses, their hindgut, their large intestine, it doesn't function the best because they eat a lot of grain, not a lot of forage because they have to exercise so heavily, and they're very stressed. So B vitamins, if the bacteria aren't able to do their role, they're not producing all those B vitamins, we're going to see them there. You're also going to see B vitamins a lot in a lot of your gut health or probiotic type supplements because, again, if the hindgut where all those bacteria live isn't functioning correctly, the bacteria aren't able to produce all those B vitamins, so we have to feed them to the horse. But vitamin C is also a water-soluble vitamin. It's an important antioxidant. You're going to see it a lot in joint supplements because it's important for collagen development. But again, like B vitamins, it's not a required nutrient. It's not what we call essential. You'll see us as nutritionists use the term essential nutrient. What that really means, if it's used correctly, is that the body can't make that nutrient or element. It has to be consumed in the diet. You're going to see that around fatty acids or amino acids. But vitamin C can be derived from glucose in the body, necessary to see vitamin C in your just everyday feed.
Who knew? I didn't know what that whole essential meant. I thought it was because if I don't give this to my horse, he's surely going to get sick and die.
Yes, no. There's a few terms in equine nutrition that there's one correct meaning for it, but then over the years, other terms have cropped up. But I'm sure we'll touch on more of those as we go through the months. Fat-soluble vitamins, there's only 4 of those, vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E, and vitamin K. I think most of us are familiar with vitamin A and vitamin E being pretty important. Vitamin D comes from the sun, and vitamin K is for your blood to clot. The one thing that I want to make a point about fat-soluble vitamins, water-soluble vitamins, they're not stored anywhere. They're synthesized, they're used, and then whatever's not used just goes out in the urine or manure. But fat-soluble vitamins, because they're soluble in fat, they get absorbed into the horse's fat. So it's much, much easier to actually get too many fat-soluble vitamins. And we call this hypervitaminosis. If your horse, say you've got a performance horse, and he needs more vitamin E and vitamin A, you need to make sure that you're feeding more fat in your diet because if the horse doesn't have a lot of fat, he's actually not going to be able to absorb a lot of these fat-soluble vitamins. So, again, also in a rescue horse that's really, really thin, one of the things that we worry about is soluble vitamin deficiencies because even if he was getting them, he's not able to absorb them very well.
Interesting. So this is yet another reason to not just toss supplements at your horse willy-nilly.
Exactly. Because a lot of times this vitamin A, D, E, and K will be in your commercial concentrate. So if you start adding a lot of extras, then you can have issues with these ones. Let's start with vitamin A, important for vision, bone growth, reproduction, and immune system. It's also very prevalent in green leafy forages. So if your horse has access to green grass, he gets a lot of vitamin A. And you think, well, in the wintertime, he doesn't eat a lot of green grass. He's eating a lot of stored shedded forage, which I know is lower in vitamin A, but he was able to store it in his fat. So that's kind of an evolutionary way that the horse can keep utilizing and keep having enough vitamin A throughout the wintertime, is they store it in their fat. Vitamin D, it's very important for calcium and phosphorus absorption and bone development, but it's not required if your horse gets plenty of access to the sun. Or if you feed hay that was cured in the sun, which all hay is, sun-cured hay and the leaves has a lot of vitamin D. Vitamin E, it's really important for reproduction, muscle function, blood flow, nervous system, immune system, but again, very high in green leafy forages. Vitamin K, important for blood clotting and is available in green plants, but it's also synthesized by the microbes in the large intestine, just like that vitamin B.
Could that conceivably interfere with the vitamin K production?
Could do. So if you had a really thin horse or a really stressed horse and he seemed to be bleeding a lot, if he got a cut and he just wasn't healing up, then you could definitely look at vitamin K deficiency. Now, we do have some people that feed their racehorses supplements high in vitamin K for those horses that are bleeders, so they'll actually bleed out their nose, thinking that the vitamin K will help with blood clotting, but it actually isn't that effective for these horses that have this bleeding issue.
I didn't think that was going to be an effective way to do it. It's not like adding extra flour to the chicken stock to thicken up. It doesn't work that way.
No, not that simple. Not that simple.
It would be easy if it was, but no.
And another thing is these vitamins, either water-soluble or fat-soluble, if they're in your feed, they aren't lost if the feed is heated. So a lot of our feeds are going to be, steamed or put through pressure. These vitamins aren't going to be lost through that short amount of heat or pressure that we put on those grains to make that pellet or steam flake the corn, for example.
Interesting. So they're reasonably stable.
They are, yes.
Good to know. So we've got fat soluble, we've got water soluble. We need them both, and we need them in the right amounts. Got it.
Yes. So let's now move to minerals. Whenever I give my presentations, I kind of list out the nutrients horses need, and I always start out, we've got carbohydrates and protein and water and fiber and then vitamins, minerals. And people say, well, maybe they don't need them that much. No, they're really, really important, critical, in fact, but they are needed in much smaller quantities because they're much more potent than our other ingredients. Minerals actually get broken down into two major categories, macro minerals and micro minerals. Now, your macro minerals are minerals that are needed in larger levels in the body. These are things like calcium, phosphorus, magnesium, potassium, sodium, chloride, and sulfur. Now, we need those in quite large amounts. Well, it makes sense. Things like calcium and phosphorus are really important for quality bone, and, there's a lot of bone in your body. So when it comes to your micro minerals, they are also termed trace minerals. Most of our listeners probably have heard the term trace minerals before they've heard micro minerals. These are things like cobalt, copper, iodine, iron, manganese, selenium, and zinc. Now, there are a few other minerals that I didn't list in those two groups that are also minerals of interest, chromium, fluorine, and silicon. chromium is getting a little bit more interesting to people because it's involved in glucose and insulin metabolism. So people with metabolic horses are starting to supplement with chromium, thinking that it might help with this impaired glucose and insulin function. Fluorine is important for bone and teeth. And silicon, we're starting to see a little bit more research in silicon, especially for putting it in growth supplements or joint supplements, because it's really important for bone development, bone growth, connective tissue, cartilage, and hyaluronic acid. Now, hyaluronic acid is the kind of lubrication in those joints. So they are three minerals that we don't have necessarily a required amount for them, but they're getting a little bit more attention in research.
Wow. They're still discovering what all of these minerals do for the animal at this point. It's not a case
Absolutely.
Of we know it all.
Yeah.
Wow.
Chromium is definitely, there's a lot more research done in human nutrition about its importance. And a lot of times, horse research is the last to pick up on a lot of this new stuff. So we take a lot of what we've learned in humans and try and extrapolate it to horses. And if we think there might be something there, then we'll go ahead and do some research in it. So yeah, these are ones of interest.
Are there any of these minerals that, okay, you really need to not give your horse too much of X, Y, or Z because you're going to cause him a serious issue?
Absolutely. Now, the first one that pops to mind is selenium. While selenium is absolutely critical for immune function, reproduction, lots of different things, the problem with selenium is the signs of deficiency and the signs of toxicity are exactly the same.
Oh, dear. That makes it tough.
Falls out. Oh, I know. It's terrible. Hair falls out. They get really photosensitive. I've had some people say, oh, the coronet band of my horse is bleeding. And that can be a deficiency in selenium. Yeah. So that's a big one. We also know that there are iron. Iron is prevalent and it's in abundance in green. We get it from green leafy vegetables or meat. Horses don't eat meat. So there's a lot of it in grass already, grasses and hays. And there had been some question for a while about, well, these metabolic horses shouldn't have extra iron. We shouldn't be feeding them a lot of extra iron because too much iron can interfere with the uptake of some other minerals. And so there's just been some research recently on iron and whether it is dangerous for extra iron, is it dangerous for these metabolic horses? And it seems that we don't necessarily want a lot of added extra iron for these metabolic horses. But iron is critical to a certain amount for oxygen carrying capacity in blood and blood formation. So whilst both of those are really critical, if you get too much, it can be dangerous. Other things like calcium and phosphorus, we know they need to be in a nice balance. They kind of work together. People have probably heard that before, and we usually go with a 2-to-1 ratio. But always just make sure you don't have more phosphorus than calcium.
And that's, again, where tossing supplements or mixing and matching different formulated feeds can get you into mischief.
It really can, because for me, when I get a diet, I'll have a customer call me and say, you know, these are all the things I'm feeding. Can you run the diet for me? Is there too much or too little of this or that in my diet? It could take me a couple of hours to go through 3 or 4 supplements, how much are they getting out of it, then they've got the feed, then they've got the hay, then they've got the pasture. It can take me a while to kind of add it all up and work it all out. So especially when you're just willy-nilly adding supplements, it can be detrimental, definitely. And there is a lot of competition between minerals for absorption, kind of like if you get too much iron, you can block the absorption of some of these other ones. So you've got to be careful. I'm really glad that you brought that up. You have to be very careful about just adding supplements willy-nilly.
Because they can interfere with each other. Well, you mentioned selenium and the fact that they can't have too much selenium, but they also need just enough selenium. And a popular ingredient I'm seeing nowadays is something they call selenium yeast. So what form the minerals come in makes a difference, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. So let's go back to horses in the wild. I always go back to that because that's kind of, they were doing fine and then we come along. So let's go back to how they were doing fine. Horses, this is my thing. Horses are designed to eat plants, not rocks. In the wild, horses graze on plants that have grown in soil. Where do minerals come from? Minerals are all rocks. They're in the soil. So the plants grow in the soil. They absorb the minerals. Horse eats plant with the minerals in there, and those minerals are in what we call their organic form. Not that we're not spraying pesticides or anything on it, in their plant form or organic form.
So that's very, that's a little confusing as a consumer because
yes.
In this case, organic means something very, very different than you would see on an item in a grocery store that says
so
organic.
So much now we're getting bombarded with, is it certified organic? You know, and that's really coming down to, were pesticides used on the crops, if it's a crop, or if it's milk, were the cows given drugs or whatever. And so that is a totally different use of the term organic. Remember, I mentioned last month there are different terms that carry different meanings. When I'm using the term organic aligning with these minerals, I'm really using the, go back to high school, biology in its organic form. You asked the question about selenium, and that's a really good one. So we know that what we've done is taken horses off just living out in the wild. We're feeding them grains. We know that that's not very balanced for minerals. So we know minerals come out of the ground. We dig the dirt. We refine the different minerals, and we were sprinkling that on the feeds in proportions that we knew would balance the diet and calling it good. But the horse isn't very good at absorbing these rock-type minerals because he wasn't meant to eat dirt. So the selenium, what we do is we take that sodium selenite, which is the rock type out of the ground form of selenium, and we grow the most tiny plant known, which is yeast, on that rock type selenium. The yeast absorbs the selenium, and then we feed that yeast, which is highly fortified with that selenium, to the horse. It's called selenium yeast, and that is a much safer way to feed selenium to the horse. It has a much longer retention time. So where, if you look at graphs where they feed selenium yeast to young baby horses, if you feed the same amount of the rock-type selenium versus the same amount of the selenium yeast, you have much higher quantities of the selenium yeast, of selenium in the blood, when you feed selenium yeast. And so I can feed less of it, and I know it's a lot safer, and it's going to stay in the system longer, and it's not just going to go out in the manure pile. It's not quite the same with other minerals. You've probably heard the word chelation.
Yeah, what the heck does
just
that mean anyway?
I know, another one of those confusing ones. Chel just means to claw, to grab onto. So when the horse absorbs, eats those rock-type minerals, those minerals can't just float across the intestinal wall. They have to be attached to something to allow them to transfer across the intestinal wall and get into the blood system so they can be used. So chel just means to claw, to grab onto. Grab onto what? When it comes to minerals with horses, it's combined with an amino acid, so a tiny, tiny protein, and they form complexes, and that's going to allow much easier transfer across the intestinal wall. So your chelated minerals are more available for use by the horse. There's much more absorption of these chelated minerals.
So chelated, okay.
You like to see chelated.
So yeah. If I see an ingredient listed as chelated, that means it's the organic or rock form, and it's been attached to something else so that the horse can absorb it better.
Yes. Typically, it's going to be proteins. So another, it's not that simple that you'll look at the tag and it'll say chelated copper. But what you'll see is copper proteinate or copper amino acid complex. And that will lead you to believe that it won't be chelated copper.
So proteinate means it's a
chelated form, yes. It means that copper has been attached to a protein, and so it's going to more easily transfer across the intestine.
Now, a chelated mineral can be attached to a protein, as we've
yes.
proteinate. Can it be attached to other things? Obviously, yeast.
Typically, it's proteins, little amino acids. Some companies do try and use different things, but most common, it's going to be amino acids, little tiny proteins.
There we go. Now, does it make a difference as far as how well the horse can absorb it and how effective it is, what protein that is? Does it matter?
No. Companies have really come up with the right proteins, and so I don't question carrier. Between different companies that sell these ingredients, they will certainly say, well, my carrier is better than your carrier. But really, the take-home is chelated minerals are better than rock-type minerals.
So it's going to always have either that chelated word or something it's going to, or before it.
Protein-related.
Protein-related.
Yeah.
Got it. How interesting is that?
It is. It's very interesting. It's one of those new technologies. And what it does, it's enabling us to feed less grain, feed less concentrate, because the concentrate that you're feeding is more available to the horse. So a lot of times when you see feeds that have these technologies, the selenium yeast, the chelated minerals, maybe it's got some other probiotics in it, the feeding rates of these feeds are going to be lower because they're just more usable by the horse.
There we go. And if you've got a horse that's a hard keeper, that's a good thing, because feeding him less quantity while still getting all the nutrient values he needs is a good thing.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Replace that 5 pounds of grain with 2 pounds of grain and an extra 3 pounds of hay.
Yes.
Yay!
Anytime we can feed more hay, it's just better.
It's just
the horses are designed to eat forage. It's just better.
It's just like homemade chocolate chip cookies. They're just better.
Just better.
Than the store-bought kind.
Yes. I have a 13-month-old son, and you hear in all the parenting books, you know, everybody tries to avoid just because I said so. No, it's just because I said so. Forage is just better.
And that is from Dr. Tanya Cubitt, scientist and new mom.
Yes. Now, there are a couple of myths that I want to touch on before we finish on minerals. I get asked a lot of times about trace mineral salt blocks or free choice minerals.
Yeah, the red block or the white block.
Exactly, exactly. And with the trace mineral salt block, it's really the issue with both of these. But if we look at the trace mineral salt block first, if you look at the little tag and the guaranteed analysis, they're going to be between 95 and 99% salt. And so that leaves me about 1 to 5% room in that thing to put the other minerals that I need. Typically it's red because it's got a lot of iron in it and molasses to make it palatable. We don't need a lot of iron because the horses eat the green grass, which gives them iron, and the molasses typically just makes them want to eat it more. So we cannot rely on horses eating enough of that trace mineral salt block to get all of the nutrients they need. It's the same complaint I have with free choice minerals. So now it's not in a block. It's just a tub with loose salt and minerals in there, and they can lick and chew away on that as much as they want. There has been studies to show that horses, only when they're not exercising, can regulate accurately the amount of salt they need, so the sodium and chloride portion. They cannot regulate the amount of selenium, manganese, copper, zinc they need. I did have a woman in Florida once. She took me into her barn, and she showed me in the stall, and she had little tubs bolted all around the stall. And in each one of them, she had individual minerals, some copper in here, some zinc in here, some selenium in there, all the way around. She'd gone to great lengths to make sure that he had all the different minerals. And she was determined that her horse would select what he didn't need, what he needed, and not what he didn't need. Well, have you ever heard of animals eating antifreeze? It will kill them, but it's sweet, so they like to eat it. The horse was selecting the minerals that were sweeter or had a better taste. And you go around and lick them, and some taste terrible. So horses, I know we think they're smart, but they just cannot regulate the amount of minerals that they actually need.
Well, I guess if we go back to that horses in the wild scenario, horses in the wild weren't endurance horses. Horses in the wild didn't race. Horses in the wild did not So their lifestyle was very different. So their ability
and
to
their
lifespan
was also shorter. They lived about 6 to 12 years.
And so their consumption of minerals kind of matched their lifestyle, and it sounds like genetically and their hard wiring is still designed to consume minerals voluntarily on a basis of I don't work for a living, I hang out, eat grass, sleep with my friends, and occasionally run away from a mountain lion. So that kind of makes sense,
and
the way you put it.
When horses were grazing in the wild, they were roaming over miles and miles and miles. So if you're able to cut all the grass and just take that top layer of soil off and look at all the different soil types, as you go over miles and miles and miles, the soil type changes. And when the soil type changes, the mineral content changes. So when they were grazing over miles and miles, they were getting a lot of different minerals in the grasses. But our horses are confined to a small area. So
there you go.
Another issue.
Fascinating stuff. So if you are cooking for your horse, willy-nilly tossing various and sundry supplements at him, or mixing fortified feeds, or feeding an amount of fortified feed that the label doesn't recommend, in other words, way more than the label recommends or a lot less than the label recommends, is there a way to know if your horse's minerals are way out of balance? For example, are there health issues that are going to crop up, or are there tests that your veterinarian can do to nail this stuff down and wave a result in your face and say, you need to stop doing that?
Well, a lot of times they're not going to get that deficient that their hair falls out or their, you know, feet fall off. But it's going to be just, you know, the hair coat's not looking the best. The hoof quality isn't great. And so we have some people, and I may have some callers call in and scream at me for this, but some people like to do hair tests to evaluate mineral content. My problem with hair tests is I have medium to long hair. It took a long time to grow that. And a lot of people take the hair from the end. Well, that's my hair from a year ago or 6 months ago. So it doesn't give you an accurate evaluation of what's going on right now. So I don't rely on hair analysis for a good, is my horse deficient in, say, copper or zinc. Some people will do blood tests. Now, just because it's floating around in the blood doesn't necessarily mean that your horse has enough. It could still be deficient because minerals are going to be used by different organs. The best way to test whether your horse has got enough mineral content is to do a liver biopsy. But you're not going to do that. Average horse owners are not going to do a liver biopsy. So your best bet, feed according to the directions on the bag. If you're feeding less, get in touch with a nutritionist, have them balance a diet for you. Some feed companies will also help balance a diet for you. We have computer programs. We can plug in what you're feeding, and it will give us exactly what you're giving your horse and compare it to the recommended amount the horse should be getting of each of the minerals, and we can just black and white show you where there's deficiencies or excesses. I went to school for 10 years pretty much doing a master's and PhD. It seemed to take that long. And there is still so much I don't know, and I'm learning every day. So when I have clients that are trying to balance diets on their own and I'm just going to feed a grain and add my own minerals, it can be very, very confusing. So I do recommend that you try and talk with an expert.
So it sounds like, particularly in the minerals family, that too much or too little or off-balance ratios, it's going to be an insidious problem. You might not see the horse change in his health in a short term, but it's insidious, and over time there can be effects to it. So nutritionist is your friend.
Yes, we try to be. We really try.
Well, thank you again for helping to take the confusion out of vitamins and minerals. And for folks whose eyes are rolling back in their head and they're pulling their hair out or gnashing their teeth right now because they're confused as all get out, or that they want to know more, how can they get a hold of Dr. Tanya Cubitt?
They can go on our website, Performance Horse Nutrition. We have a Facebook page, or my email address is tcubit@gmail.com, and I'll be more than happy to go through people's diets with them, what are their horses being fed, what hay are they feeding, and we can balance a diet for them, and we can do it for your whole barn.
There we go. That sounds like a grand idea. Thank you again, Dr. Tanya Cubitt, and we'll see you next month.
And thank you, Jennifer, for helping put those together every month for us. We really appreciate that. Lots of good information there and cleared up some of the terms that we hear all the time and I'm totally confused about. Well, that's it for today's show. We thank you for joining us here. We'll be back tomorrow morning. Mary Kitzmiller will be back with us, and then Friday, Jamie will be back. It's Really Bad Ads week. Friday we'll have Really Bad Ads, so get your Really Bad Ad into Jennifer at HorseRadioNetwork.com. Put Really Bad Ads in the subject line and copy and paste the entire bad ad into the email, pictures and all. I know she needs a few more, so get on Craigslist today and take a look. And, of course, you'll be entered in the EquityMFG.com drawing at the end of the month for a flex and fork, and then at the end of the year for a shake and fork. And we'll have a prize for you, too, on Friday for the winner of Friday's Really Bad Ad. So get them in now. We have a listener. We're going to be talking to a listener on Friday as well. We're going to do a listener highlight. So we have lots of good things planned over the next couple of days. We hope you join us. Thanks again. Have a terrific day. And for Jamie, stay neuter and geld.